Silas Yesharim. We are in chapter Perek Kaf. Vehinei Maaseh Gedalia ben Achikam Galui le'einenu Shemepnei Rov Chassiduto Shelo Ladun et Yishmael Lekaf Chova O Shelo Lekabel Lashon Hara Amar Yochanan ben Kareach Sheker Ata Dover Al Yishmael. So we're talking about the end of the era of the Geula, the beginning of the Galut, and Gedalia ben Achikam wanted to believe that everyone was good. He wanted a Veidanakav Tzchut, and when it sounds like a good thing to do, it sounds like a holy thing to do. And when he was given a counsel and given advice that Yochanan is trying to kill you, that Yishmael is trying to kill you, he said to Yochanan, "You're lying. There's no way it's true." Umagaram, and because he didn't take the advice seriously, what did that cause? Garam Shemetu, it caused that he was assassinated. V'nifzeru Yisrael, and the Jewish people from there went into Galus. He was our last leader, and from there we went into Galus. The Kava Gachalatam Anishara, and the last remaining coals, all were destroyed. And it seems like the Torah is accusing him, like it's his fault. The pasuk implies that it's as if he killed him. It's as if Gedalia, because he didn't take the Lashon Hara on Yishmael, it's as if he was the one who killed him. Amram Chazal benida al pasuk et kol pigrei ha'anashim asher hika biyad Gedaliahu. The pasuk in Yirmiah, chapter 41, says that all the dead bodies that Gedaliah hit? What did he hit? He was a caring, loving leader. Yeah, but because he didn't take the Lashon Hara that was told about Ishmael, because he was Dan Lekav Tzchut, but seemingly it's not encouraging Dan Lekav Tzchut here, he caused the death of all those people. Ba'bayit Hasheni, gam hu charav al-yedei chassidut kazeh. And also Bayit Sheni was caused through false chassidus. Asher lo nishkal v'mishkal tzedek, where things weren't weighed evenly, with the famous story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, the rabbis thought they should bring him in. Amar lehem Zcharia ben Avi Kolas, Yomru ba'le mumim kerevim legabi mizbeach. If we accept the korban, there was a korban that was brought in order to create a disaccord between the Jews and the Romans, and it was a korban which had a mum in it, and then came along the chassid, Zcharia ben Av Kolas, and he said, "We can't sacrifice it." And they said, "If we don't sacrifice it, the Romans are going to kill us." And he said, "Yeah, but if you do sacrifice it, then people will misunderstand the halacha, and they'll think you're allowed to bring a korban with a mum in the mizbeach." Savur le mikteles, they wanted to kill him, meaning the messenger who brought it. Amar lehem, Rabbi Zachai ben Avkura, says, no, you're not allowed to do that. Matil mum bekotshim yareg, people will think that if someone put the mum in the korban, because they didn't have a mum to begin with, it's this guy, this messenger, he made a mum. People will think that if you make a mum in an animal, then you're chayv misa. So they listened to Zcharia, and they didn't bring the korban. And in the meantime, this messenger, ben kach ben kach halach oto rasha v'ilshir Yisrael, went back and told the Romans that they hadn't brought the korban. And the Caesar came and destroyed Yerushalayim. Who mashamar Rabbi Yochanan on that? What did Rabbi Yochanan say about this story? And vatanuto shel Rabbi Zacharia hechariva et beiteinu v'sarfa et hechaleinu v'hegelateinu ben omot. The righteousness, the humility of Rabbi Zacharia. He's not saying it in a praiseful way here. He's saying it in a false way. He was overly humble. He was overly concerned. And that's what caused the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. So it sounds like the Maaseh Yesharim, all the way here at the end, Perek Kaf, is reversing and everything he's been teaching us. You shouldn't be done in Kaf Tzchut. Presume people are out to kill you. You shouldn't be friendly. You should kill messengers who come. What's happening here? You see from here that you have to be a lot more broad-minded than the immediate act that's in front of you. Both these examples are examples of people who are, in a sense, focused only on the immediate consequence. But they weren't thinking of the bigger picture. And that's a lot of the reason why we need gedolim. Why do you need people who are Klal Yisrael oriented people? Because often we could be in a place where we will make a decision based on the facts that are in front of us, but we as an individual, we as a family, sometimes we even as a community, we only see how it's affecting us in our mini scale. We don't see how that's going to affect long-term things, how it's going to affect bigger picture of scale of things. So Zachariah may have been correct when he was saying, don't bring the Korban, which is the Mum, because people might say, but the Beit HaMikdash might be destroyed. That's a much bigger scale thing. This individual is coming to tell us on the Romans that we've misbehaved in the Roman diet. So you have to take a broader picture. And a chassidut, where a person is saying, like, I only want to see what's in my Dalai Lama's, I don't want to know what's outside. I once read a book, which I didn't agree with this particular phrase in the book. I'll share it with you. I won't say the name of the book or the author, but I'll share it with you. It was a book talking about Avodat Hashem. And the book then addressed the question of why in Avodat Hashem we don't get involved in politics and in bigger things. Why everything in Avodat Hashem is about working in your midas and improving your davening and your own Torah. The answer that he gave there in the book was that basically you leave bigger things to Hashem, bigger things Hashem will run, and your place in the world is to focus on what your Dalai Lama. Like the things that you can directly influence that you get involved in and things that are beyond your beyond. That didn't rest very well with me, that answer. Because with that answer, you're basically saying, we have a country, leave the country to people who are going to run it the way they want to, and if they make policies that forbid learning yeshiva, that was what Hashem wanted. And if they make policies that go against keeping Shabbos, that's what Hashem wanted. As long as we're focusing on our little Dalai Lama, everything's okay. And it bothered me, that answer. Because when you look at the Torah does make instruction of having a king. It does give instruction of how to have an army. It does give instruction of how to have a council of sages that take advice. And it seems like the Torah is not an individual Torah. It's also an individual Torah, but it's also a Klal Torah. And in fact, it's primarily a Klal Torah. The Torah wasn't given to individuals. The Torah was given to the Klal as a Klal. It's supposed to be that we are the Merkava, the chariot for Hashem's name coming up as a nation. We serve Hashem when all of the different portions of the Jewish nation, the Shvatim, are on their particular area of the land. That's when the land has Kedusha. So we're not about only our individual service. A false chassidut is when a person is super righteous and says, what's going to help me and my brother Hashem? But he's not looking at the bigger picture of how it's going to affect broader things. One humorous, perhaps not, story. There was someone who learned a couple of years above me in Keren B'Yavneh, and he became much frumer than his family. And let's say his name was Moshe. So he went back for Pesach to his family, and he had learned the halachos of eating the Pesach, and he learned that when you eat the matzah, you're supposed to eat two kazetsim of matzah. One to parallel the Korban Pesach that was eaten there, and one to parallel the matzah that was eaten with the Korban Pesach. So two portions of matzah. And he also learned the machloket, or the size of matzah, grach ne'eh, chazanish. So he now is ready for eating two matzahs. Oh, and there's also machloket how long you have to eat it, in between 2 and 9 minutes, so obviously you're going to take the 2 minutes. So he's eating two matzahs of the chazanish size within 2 minutes. But he also learned that the time starts when you start swallowing, not when you start chewing. So here he was. He had his 2 matzahs ready. He cut his clock over here. His clock. And then they finished the bracha and he stopped going. And not chewing, because he doesn't want to, not swallowing, just chewing. And he's putting in and putting in and putting in. And his cheeks are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And they're trying to get the double portion of the chazanish size within 2 minutes. He's looking at the clock. And his mother looks at him, which she's not allowed to speak then, because she hadn't taken his eyes there. But she hadn't learned the same halakha he's learned. And she looks at him and she says, that's right, Moshe. That's exactly what God wants from you.
That was her prayer.
And now, then he's like trying to ignore the Yetzer Hara and the Satan's voice over there and keep chewing in the matzah. But he's also laughing because he knows she's right. But he just feels that it's like, so now he's trying to eat two matzahs of Chazanut size and laughing at the same time. It was a big failure. And he came back and he shared it with us in a humorous way. So that's false chassidus, in a way. Why? Because he's trying to do everything, and he's causing a chilul Hashem. And his mother's ridiculing him. And his brother's ridiculing Torah, not just him. And if you look at the bigger picture, what happened there was not overall beneficial. It's not overall. And to some degree, if I would take out the sarcasm, I would agree with his mother. Not the sarcastic way that she said it. I would agree with her. Were you thinking, Moshe, were you thinking when you were doing that? Were you thinking about Hashem? Were you thinking about Yetziat Mitzrayim? Were you thinking about how Hashem loves us and He's chosen us? Or were you thinking, 1:15, I said, what were you thinking at that moment? It could be that you missed the whole goal and you didn't think of the bigger picture. Real chassidut is where you take on chumrah upon chumrah upon chumrah whilst always checking what the long-term effect is going to be and how it's going to affect the bigger picture. And if you see in any way that it's going to affect the bigger picture in a negative way, then you say, that's not chassidut. Because I'm always looking for the overall good. It happens a lot in the chinuch of children as well. In the chinuch of children, there's a false sense of needing to educate when a child has done something wrong, which the parent says, this is my role, this is my position, if I don't tell them now, what's going to happen? And then they make sure to tell the kids everything wrong they're doing and that it's wrong. And it seems to be coming from a good place. Like, I need to educate them. If I don't tell them, who's going to tell them? But you do a lot better in education if you overlook the bad thing. Within degree. Obviously, if something is dangerous or if something's happening long term, there are times and there's ways to say things. But overall, if kids know that if you're doing good as a parent and kids know what you believe is good, then even if they're being childish, because they're children, right? Childish means that's what children are supposed to do. It's appropriate for their age. And you let them do that, then that's a much better way of educating. And they'll outgrow those things that they are childish about, if it's age appropriate, they'll outgrow them. And they'll only ever heard from you positive encouragement of the good things, they're much likely to turn out. And you're saying, no, I have to educate them, it's false. So chassidut, which is false, is when you're not thinking of the long-term repercussions. And a parent doesn't think of what the long-term repercussions are going to be of educating children, now that's an inverted commas, they're educating them, right, and rebuking children, then overall he's going to fail as a parent. So these acts were coming from a pure place. They were coming from a holy place. Gedaliah ben Achikam, he said, I want to be done like Kavshut, which is coming from a holy place. But if someone trustworthy is telling you to be careful, you should take it seriously. You could say, I don't believe you, but I'll take a precaution. That would be appropriate. In the second case of Kamta Bar Kamta, they could say to Rabbi Zachariah ben Avkulas, they could say, you're right on an individual level, but here there's a much bigger picture. Just think what Rebbe would have said. If Rebbe, when he was compiling the Mishnah, and people would have come to him, maybe they did, and they would have said to him, Rebbe, it's forbidden to write down the oral Torah. It has to remain oral. And he would say, oh, you're right, I'll be extra chassid, and I won't write it down. That would have been the end of Torah. The only reason we have Torah today is because Rebbe said, Eit lasot la'ashem eferu torotecha. You have to look at the bigger picture. Now me and you as individuals can't do that. Otherwise we'd become conservative. And we'd say, oh yeah, it doesn't fit into what we think. People aren't going to come to shul, they don't drive to shul. We can't do that. We can't start making up our own rules which seem to be breaking Torah. But the Gedolim, that's their role. That's the role people have a broader perspective. People have a Klal Yisrael perspective. Taking on things only when they're going to ensure that's not going to have negative repercussions. And they see the much bigger picture. That's a real chassidut. False chassidut is where you do what looks immediately to be righteous without thinking deeply how it's going to have a long-term effect. And that's inappropriate, negative. Real chassidut is where you only ever take on action where you've thought through very carefully what the long-term repercussions are going to be and you've seen the only good is going to come out of it. I think Moshe Rabbeinu, when it says that he looked left and looked right, and Rashi says that the Ish Mitzri, he looked into his descendants with a prophecy to see no one positive would ever come out of him. No righteous gear would ever come out of it. One second, if this person was chayiv mitzah at that moment, then what do you care about future descendants? Right now it's chayiv mitzah, so kill him. No, Moshe Rabbeinu was a chassid. He says, once they get long-term repercussions, I have to take that into account. Only when you look with nevuah in the future, so everyone does. He was able to do nevuah. We can't. We can't know for sure, but we, with the best of our ability, we go, shame, right? Shame we don't have that ability. But with the best of our ability we have, we look, and that's real chassidut, that you think the long-term repercussions. The Torah tivta otanu, hinei Torah tivta, hochech tochech et amitecha. This is going to connect to the point we just made about education of the children. וכמה פעמים ייכנס האדם להוכיח חטאים במקום ובזמן שאין המדרכים נשמעים? How many times does that happen? Whether you've done it or you've seen other people do it, but people come and they have good intention, they want to be helpful, and they try and say to someone else what they're doing is inappropriate, and it's not heard. In fact, the person is resentful about it. They feel bitter. Who is he to tell me what to do? And they feel upset about it. I don't want Musa, I don't want Musa. Winston Churchill said, I heard this from... I heard this from Rav Asher Weiss. So Rav Asher Weiss quoting Winston Churchill. He said, I like to learn, but I don't like to be taught. Very true. People like it, they like to know things. I don't want someone coming and telling me what to do. I like that I don't like to be taught. That's what it says in the name of Asher Weiss. So Hochach Tochet Nadecha is a mitzvah from the Torah. You have to educate. And you have to rebuke. But you have to do it in a way that's going to be accepted. You have to be wise to know how to do that. Think of the long term. If I'm going to tell someone off now, I'm going to say to them, this is totally inappropriate, you should never do this again. Is that going to encourage them? If it will, to say it. And if it won't, then don't say it. Or, not that you shouldn't say anything. Find a way to say it that will be effective. The gorem lehem leitparet yoter berisham. And it will cause them to break out of the boundaries and they'll be even more wicked. And the righteous person is saying to himself, he's saying, but I had to speak up in the name of Hashem. Hashem's name was at stake, and that's why I spoke up. Then one second, pause. Look what the long-term effect was. That person, because of your phrase, left the path of Torah entirely. And now he's upset with Hashem and upset with Torah. Is that what you wanted? I didn't want it, but I couldn't keep quiet. I had to speak up. Say, so you have an issue. Take two. But don't express yourself in a negative way, which is going to cause him to go further away from Torah. It's a mitzvah only if it's effective. If it's going to push someone further away, it's a mitzvah to keep quiet. And that's real chassidut. Real chassidut is where you think of the long-term effect, and you only act if you know that it's going to cause the chilul Hashem in the bigger picture. And you have to be broad-minded for this. A little kid is not broad-minded. A little kid is only like, I want my food now, give it to me. But once you become an adult, then your perspective changes entirely. Instead of looking inwards, you look outwards, and you're always thinking, what's the long-term effect and others going to be? Hinei kayotze bezeh eino min hachasidut ela lishtok. So if you have a sensitivity that if you're going to tell someone something and they're not going to hear it, then the best thing to do is for you to be quiet. I heard a story from this person. There's someone who was from Tel Aviv and he became religious through Chabad, and he was debating whether to continue having Leila Seder at home, because they do Leila Seder, but not the way that he would like to. And his debate was for the education of his children versus the keeping connection with his family at a time they're interested in keeping a connection. That was debate, very interesting. So with his family, the Mechalal Shabbos, the Mechalal Yontov, and with his broader family, but with his, and it doesn't, so that's a negative influence for his kids. But on the other hand, that's the only time they're really like, interested in Torah at all. So he weighed it up very carefully, and he said, it's worth the while, I'll educate my children well throughout the year, but to keep connected to my family. So he told me that there were Leila Seder, and someone in his family has a birthday on Leila Seder. So they started singing, like, yom, yom, and brought out a cake! Chometz cake on Leila Seder. And he started cutting up the chometz cake and giving out, offering his kids. Now they know that they eat on a different table. And the family are totally respectful. They say, we're happy that you still want to be with us. But he doesn't lead the Seder. He comes, they talk as a family, he has his food on his table, and they're very happy that he's still with us. They're respectful enough that he's with them, they're respectful that he has different laws of kashrut, they don't keep kosher. So they're respectful. And in his mind, it's more of a Kiddush Hashem that he's still together with them. Even the talk is politics and Lashon Hara and eating cake on Pesach. He sees it as a greater value that he's still remaining connected to his family, but they still see Judaism in a positive light. And not, if you're religious, you have to disconnect from everyone. And therefore he keeps going on, let us say that. That takes gadlut to say that. It would be so much easier to be small-minded and say, no, cut off. It would be so much easier. I'm with my family, my inner family. And now, I don't know if what he's doing is right or wrong. Everyone has to like judge their situation. Every family works very different. And he, I'm sure, thought it through very well to know that was the right thing to do. But that takes a broader perspective. That's a real chassidut. And you say it's not the most frum thing is necessarily the right thing. I'm not talking ever about breaking halacha. Never about breaking halacha. He wouldn't eat the cake in order to, they wouldn't see it as a chil Hashem. Never. You never break halacha. But you could definitely not take on chumrus and know how to keep halacha appropriate, like keeping quiet when you're supposed to keep quiet, which is under the midst of rebuking someone who couldn't accept it. You have to know halacha well to be a chassid. You have to know when to not apply the halacha to be a chassid. And that would be appropriate. And that means that to be a chassid, you have to step out of the small, extreme, being frum mindset and be exceptionally frum. And exceptionally chassidut, and know when to see a broader perspective that's going to create an overall Kiddush Hashem.